Okay, that's us up and running. So, good evening, Saints. God bless everybody who's joining. Anybody who's on YouTube, you're more than welcome this evening. We wanted to have a look at a topic this evening about music, just to continue on where we were. So we'll share the screen. We're looking at this dimension of music. Just wanted to look maybe at the power of music. And just a question that I'll ask is, what does your music say of you? You know, so I think that might be quite a good thing if we could have a look at what music is, where music comes from, and what does music represent to us. Let's pray before we do that and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we're asking for your blessing once again upon this evening, even upon everybody that would still be joining. May you please watch over them, Lord, and each of us that have, Father, gathered around in this forum, desiring to commune around your word. Won't you help us upon this evening? Won't you be glorified, we pray. Bless us. Guide us and lead us in the way you would have us to go. May your word, Father, be established in us. May you protect us. May you help us to better put on the whole armor of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. So we're looking at this, the music dimension. What does your music say of you? Just to get into it, the first thing we'd like to say, as we welcome everybody who's joining up there, the first thing is that God loves music. Now, music is something that the Lord really, really loves. And you'll see that from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Right from the beginning, I'm just reading from an article from Only Believe magazine, an old one, The Music, the Sound, and the Unsound. And it says, the Bible tells us that the Lord finds pleasure in the praises of his people. So the Bible actually says God inhabits the praises of his people. There are over 500 specific references in the Bible to music and musical instruments. You know, so this obviously, it says, is not a subject that God takes lightly. So you're going to see that God really is interested in music. He's interested in worship, obviously, but music being a part of that. As a matter of fact, the lengthiest book in the Bible is a songbook, which is the book of Psalms. We know that. That is the longest book in the Bible, is the book of Psalms. So the Lord really is trying to say something to us here. It is in the book of Psalms that God demonstrates his concern for the kind of music that his children enjoy and the kind of music that we perform. So you say, how does the book of Psalms show us? How does it demonstrate what God is wanting from our music? Well, God has given us an example. Whenever God put something in his word, at communion service we saw when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, by doing it as an example, it became a commandment to us. So when the Lord puts examples in his word, then you're going to find that becomes, you know, something which is set before us as a pattern, as something which we can see what pleased him. We can see what the Lord put in the heavenly pattern. And all we've got to do is just get ourselves in line with that. And at least we know we're heading somewhere in the right direction. So the book of Psalms, for the Lord to put 150 Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, being a songbook, being a book of Psalms, the Lord's trying to really show us here. And friends, this shows us one thing. The Lord never leaves us without the right example. In every age, God is going to give us the right example of worship, the right example of music. He's going to show us what pleases him. He's going to do it by vindication. He's going to do it by his anointing. He's going to do it, you know, through his servants, the prophets and so forth, what they say about things and the music that he blessed in that generation. And we see it all the way back to the book of Psalms. We can see the Lord has anointed and blessed the songbook, the book of Psalms, for 1,500 years from the time of David. In fact, it's 3,000 years from the time of David. He was 1,000 BC. Yeah, and it continues on to say that the book of Psalms is a collection of 150 songs, poems, and so forth. And written by David, by Moses, by Solomon, by Asaph. He was David's choir leader. The sons of Korah, which was the family of official musicians, and others. And these psalms were written, these songs were written for one purpose, to be set to music for worship. You know, so the music, the inspiration that came upon David for his psalms, obviously they set them to music. Psalms means a book of praise. And the book of Psalms was the prayer book that the Lord Jesus used when he went to the synagogue. It was the hymn book that he used when he went up to the feasts at the temple. He used the book of Psalms in his teaching. He used it to overcome temptation in the wilderness. Maybe he quoted from the Psalms. He sang it from at the Last Supper. He quoted the book of Psalms, Psalm 22. Brother George sang such a wonderful Psalm 22 at Easter. He quoted Psalm 22 as he hung on the cross, and he died with the book of Psalms on his lips. So you can really see that God and the book of Psalms have got something really close going together there. You know, there's a real harmony. There's something that pleases the Lord. That's why he took this and put this in the core of the Bible, is this book of music, this book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms isn't just a single style, you know, because people will say, what are you trying to say? You want us just to listen to funeral music all the time? I heard Brother Donnie Reagan saying that. He said, people complained about the music we play in church. And I said, please, I'm not playing your funeral music in our song worship. So we're not speaking about that. Listen what it says. Psalms, far from advocating a single style, it ranges from classical presentations written for the temple musicians to simple but expressive ballads, such as those which David composed when tending his sheep. In the book of Psalms, you find rallying songs. So you'll find songs that will lead you to war in the book of Psalms. Yeah, there are marching songs, victory songs, there's teaching songs, songs of repentance, songs of lamentation, songs of petition and praise and renewal, songs of thanksgiving, songs for saints, and songs for sinners. So the book of Psalms, friends, it's not just all slow funeral music. You know, there's the faster songs, slowest songs, repentance songs, worship songs, songs with teaching, you know, and that's really how the Lord is. God is the God of variety. He makes mountains, he makes valleys, he makes oceans, he makes forests. You may not like to live in the mountain, wonderful. Another person likes to live on the prairies, on the plains. God is a God of variety, and that's going to be the same in music. Now, I'm not telling you to listen to my music. I'm not asking you to listen to, I'm not going to try to listen to your music. We might like different types of music, but what you want to look at this evening just is the source of the music we're listening to. Because no matter what style of music you like, you might like it a bit faster, a bit slower. You know, everyone has their own taste in music, but we just want to make sure that there's the right source for the music that we're listening to, and that it brings forth the right fruits inside of our lives, because that's what music is supposed to do. It finishes and says, the book of Psalms has been called the door into the temple of praise and prayer. And in all ages and in more than 1,000 languages, the church has found through the book of Psalms a means of access to God. And that is what your music needs to be. God wants music to be a means of access to him. Not all music has to be worship. Music is also designed for the refreshment of the human spirit. The Lord wants to refresh us. He wants to, now there might be times you just need to listen to a certain type of music so you can set your affections on things of above. You're coming from the battlefield of this life and you just want it to be ministered into the right sort of spiritual place. Music opens the door, the right inspirational music of access to God. And that music can minister to you just as much as when we worship through music, we can minister to the Lord. So music has many roles. And we saw it last time, just mentioning it, that you find the different effects, the power of music in the Bible. David, through music, that music that he played, the anointing on that music, that type of music he played in the presence of Saul, cast out that evil spirit from Saul. So Saul was healed by music, by the inspiration in music. And then Elisha, we saw it as well last week, that when Brother Ram has a very good quote on this, I think I put it in just now, but he speaks of Elisha, you know, when he got out of the spirit and he wasn't feeling in a very good mood, and he had to call for the minstrel to come with the harp and play the music, and the music ministered him back into tune and harmony with the Spirit of God. And then the vision dropped down on the prophet. So music can be such a powerful thing. Now, don't forget, whenever we're speaking on the positive, Satan is a perverter. So whatever music can be in the positive, it's going to be in the negative as well. You know, so just as much as music can inspire us in this battle of life that we're in, Now, this greatest battle ever fought, it can encourage you and strengthen you and energize you. There's certain types of music are going to energize you in the wrong way. Whereas spiritual music, it energizes your soul, it refreshes your spirit. The carnal music of the world, it energizes the fallen man, your sensuality, your passion and stuff like that. So you're going to find this power in music, but it just depends on the source, the inspiration behind this music is going to determine what that music, the fruits that that music brings forth for us. So we can see when the prophet was in a bad mood, he couldn't get in the spirit, listening to the right kind of music, entering into that music, the Spirit of God came upon him now. So the music ministered him to a place that he could fellowship with God. That's what it says. The book of Psalms opens the door for access to God. The genuine music opens up that realm, that dimension of worship where God dwells. So music can be such a powerful thing. In Chronicles, we've read it at the prayer meetings, when Jehoshaphat, when the enemy came against them, and the Lord says, you don't need to fight. The battle is the Lord's. He says, he set the musicians in order. Yeah, he appointed the singers unto the Lord, and they started to worship the Lord. And it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, and the Lord smote them. So it's just the power of music. When they got into the spirit, the Lord says, stand still, see the salvation of God. They started to worship the Lord, and the Lord smote their enemies. Friends, that is why when we come to the house of the Lord, never be defeated in the song worship. I see it sometimes, saints come and don't even get involved in song worship. You can overcome the enemy just in the song worship. You might have a spirit of heaviness. The Bible says, put on the spirit of heaviness. Yeah, we sing the song, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness will flee from you. No, so that heaviness that can come, that depression that was on Saul, by just getting into the worship, getting into the right harmony with the music that was being played and lifting himself up as the music inspired him, you find the spirit of heaviness now departed from him. So it'll be the same as us. Never be defeated in a song worship. Don't give in. You might come with a headache. You might feel, I don't feel like worshiping today. That's the best time to worship. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now just resist. The Bible says, draw nigh unto the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So as you draw near, as your heart, you start lifting it up, as you start offering a sacrifice of praise, you don't feel like doing it and now becomes a sacrifice to the Lord. You're not giving into your feelings. You're not giving into your fallen nature. You're not giving into the condition that's around your current circumstances. But you're looking beyond those things and you start just to, like it says, you know, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So there's a real power in music. And that's why God is very interested in music. He is the one we'll see where music came from. In the book of Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison and they with their bleeding stripes, you know, we sing the song and, you know, it's been a tough day. Here they are in the prison house. Their feet are in stocks, surrounded by criminals. A painful situation that they were in. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were loosed and everyone's bands were loosed. Our friends, that's power. Just through worship, God responded to their worship and set them free from their captivity. But the key to it, saints, is they started singing while they were still in captivity. They started worshiping while they were still in the stocks. They started singing while they still didn't feel in their bodies to sing. But in their souls, they wanted to worship the Lord. And as they entered into the spirit of worship, the Lord now delivered them from their captivity. It's a really, really important thing, saints, to have the right attitude towards worship. Worship is such an important thing. Okay, so just to summarize, let's just summarize these points just on how God loves music, how God is in music, why God gives us music. Number one, in both the Old and the New Testament, music was vital to the life of the believer, both as an expression of joy as an act of obedience unto God. So either worship to the Lord, or as a way of testifying, a way of showing your joy, showing your gratitude. And there's different expressions in music. Number two, God has given us instruction by way of examples as to the kinds of music that he wants his people to have. God is never going to leave us in ignorance. He's going to have music. Even in our generation, there's going to be certain music and God is blessed. And like I said, there's a Urim and Thummim in the soul of genuine people. And your soul, your spirit, if you in the spirit, bears record with genuine music. Other music has an uncertain sound. It might have a catchy beat. It might have catchy words. But you find a lot of music, especially Christian music, is just very shallow. But there's other music, we'll see it maybe next time, as to what makes a song a real powerful song. What is it? What kind of music does God really bless and anoint? Because obviously that's a kind of music. If you're into writing music, that's a kind of music you desire to write. If you're into singing music, that's the kind of songs you want to get into if you really wanted to worship the Lord. You know? Is you wanted to get into that kind of music that God really blesses. But there's certain criteria to the music that God blesses. And that's what we're trying to get into, just to show that. My point is, there's no point me coming on here and putting all different kinds of CD covers or DVD covers or, you know, MP3s on here and say, look, this music's not good and this music's bad. You know, it's a vast variety and spectrum of music. I really do believe the Holy Ghost is is in the business of teaching us spiritual principles, the principles we need, giving us keys, and we can use those keys in any situation inside of life. He'll give you what you need to know. A brother said it on Sunday, Brother Green. He said, when Brother Bram preached that message, how can I overcome? He says it in that message. He says, the Bible is speaking about how to overcome, not what to overcome. We can come and say, you need to overcome this, you need to overcome that. That's not going to help you much. But if we can come and show you how to overcome, you can use that principle of how to overcome in any situation inside of your life. Whichever way the devil comes, if you know the principles of how to overcome, you've got the armor on that's going to take you through any battle. And I think that's the same as when you look at music or look at video games or anything else like that. We're not looking so much at the what, but we're looking at the how. Yeah, that's more the principles behind these things. And if you've got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of your soul, he's going to quicken those principles to you. You can then ascertain your music from those principles, whether that is really godly music. Is this the music the Lord wants me to be involved in or not? I think that this year, like John said, you don't need any man to teach you, but the anointing you've received will lead you into all truth. So we're just trying to give some principles here. I'm sure we understand that. So God has given us examples of the kind of music that he wants his people to have. We can see it throughout the Bible. Number three, far from being merely a neutral recreation, music has the power to influence us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We've seen it even in the examples from the Bible. And music, look at it, did to Paul spiritually, to Saul spiritually. I mean, it delivered him from his depression. Look what music can do to people that are sick. Look at Paul and Silas in prison. It delivered them physically, that music. So it's a very powerful medium. And the medium of music is not neutral. People say, I just listen to the words. I'm not interested in the music. Or I just listen to the music. I'm not interested in the words. No, there's no such thing as neutrality in this. Music is either from God or from the devil. There's no in between. We'll see that. Is that there's a source and inspiration behind music. Okay, number four, there are certain types of music which can make demons feel very uncomfortable. Yeah, soul is an example. Now we can turn that around. There are certain kinds of music that makes demons feel very much at home, that makes demons feel very comfortable. So there's different, there's the light and the darkness, the law of contrast in all of these things. Number five, music can create an atmosphere wherein God can work miracles. And we know that. That's why this song worship should create an atmosphere so that the Lord can come and minister to the needs of his people. And that's why the song worship is such an important, integral part of things. Now, quiet time is so important as well, saints, so that you can come from the busyness of life, from the confusion of your journey on the way to church, from all the thoughts going through your mind to come and bow your soul before the Lord, to kneel be at your seat and pray and acknowledge the Lord, to get shut in with that sweet music playing, that music that plays during the song worship. I love that music we play, those instrumentals that we have. Yeah, it just brings back so many precious memories of years gone by. It's just a lovely atmosphere when you sit there in that quiet time, you take out your Bible and you seek in the Holy Ghost to lead you. And now you start moving from the outer court now, and you start moving within the veil. And you start moving past the altar of incense, and you come within the inner veil. And while you're there, you start having some fellowship with the Lord. Now, when the song leader gets up there, your heart is set for worship. That's why the quiet time is really an important part. There's nothing worse, friends, than when you come, you know it yourself, you're rushed and you're hurried, you're late for church, everyone's grumpy at each other on the way to church. You get there, the song leader's already started, you're rushing into church, trying to sit on your seat. You think you're going to get much from the service that day. You've already spoiled a lot of it just by your approach. Now, obviously, if it's not your fault being late, God understands that. You know, but that one day where you could have been there on time and you weren't. Yeah. You could have been at the quiet time, but you weren't. These things are real important spiritual things. Go and read the book of Psalms. You'll find that all of these things are contained inside of there. So the book of Psalms, God gives us examples now, yeah, and shows us the importance he puts to music. That's really a great example that he set us. Now, let's have a look at music itself. So music, the original music was in heaven. It was in the heavenly dimension. It was when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. So God in his creation, when God now, you remember Brother Lubanza read us that quote, when the Lord wanted to create the heavens and the earth, he created the angels because he needed to be worshipped. He wanted the right atmosphere so he could create his original creation. And when he created that creation, what happened? The sons of God, the angels started to shout for joy. There was worship. There was music. There was praise taking place in heavenly places when God created the first creation. And remember when Jesus came now, the beginning of the new creation of God, there was a host of angels from heaven coming down singing, you know, songs of worship and songs of praise, glory to God in the highest, you know, coming and singing a heavenly choir. So you can see that music is an integral part of heavenly places. It's very difficult for us. We are made to respond to music. Music is such an important part of our makeup. Personally, I can't do anything without listening to music. I know some people, they can't work or study if there's music on. I can't work or study if there's no music on. I've got to have my music on. It's just such something which I just really love, that something that music does, that dimension that it ministers to. I really find it such a wonderful thing, music. So the angels first, they were singing at this, the creation right in the beginning. And while they were there, who was with them? Lucifer was with them. He was the morning star. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. I think I have it. Now listen to this before we get on to that. Brother Ram says, I was talking to a man not long ago that didn't believe in music in the church. He was holding a fuss with me about it. He said, oh, music belongs to the world. Now, that's the Church of Christ. They don't believe in musical instruments. I said, the Spirit of God didn't come on that stewed up prophet until he got the minstrel out and began to play a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost song. And the Spirit of God came down on the prophet. You know, so it was really important what that minstrel played. If he had to come and play just, you know, some song from his imagination, but somehow that song leader, that minstrel in the days of Elisha, he really, really was led of the Spirit to play the right music. And to show that, the Spirit of God came down in response to the music that he played. And the Spirit of God came down on the prophet. Yeah, and the prophet says, you might not be able to play music. He says, but God's given you these 10 He says you can use them just even to clap your hands. We'll see it that God has built musical instruments into you just as much as Satan had musical instruments built into him when he was Lucifer, the son of the morning. That's right. The prophet says God doesn't change. And he liked music in that day. God responded to music in that day. And God likes music today. Yes, sir. The Lord loves music and certain types of music. I think a lot of the stuff we see, which is called Christian music, is nothing but just the world with Christian words. You know, I think we have to be careful. It's easy to get into that. So what about Lucifer now and music? So if God loves music, God is so interested in music, Lucifer is going to be very interested in music as well. And like I say, if you think of him, Lucifer, the scripture says, Ezekiel 28:13, when it speaks of Lucifer and his characteristics, it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. You know, so when I was back in Pentecost, people used to always teach this. This is exactly what you'll find in this Only Believe article. You know, Sister Rebecca, very good, and George Smith, they made this one on music and the message, wonderful. And they speak of the same thing, that Satan has always been musical. We were always taught in the Pentecostal church, Satan was in charge of music. I don't know, you'll find that in the Bible. I don't think you will. But Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. Listen what it says in the next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So, you know, Lucifer, he was in heavenly places. He was right next to the throne. He was one of the cherubim that covered the throne. So when the sons of God shouted for joy, when there was worship, Lucifer, he knew exactly that. And being the most powerful of the angels, being next to God, I wouldn't have been surprised if he was the leader in the worship because of just who he was. And it tells us that he was made in this way. Thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now people will say, how can musical instruments be built into a being? Well, you have musical instruments built into you. You have a wind instrument, which is your voice. You have stringed instrument, which is your vocal cords. You have a percussion instrument. You can clap your hands. So God has made us with instruments as well of worship. But Satan, Lucifer, he had these built into him, the Bible says. It's a really powerful scripture. So it really shows that he knows a lot about worship. He knows a lot about worship in heavenly places. When he was Lucifer, the son of the morning, when he was the anointed cherub that covereth, when he was still operating at the divine frequency, that sacred holy frequency of heaven, whatever came out of him in worship and of the heavenly host, it was a certain frequency that came forth, the divine frequency that came forth. And that was the frequency that allowed creation to come forth, a frequency of harmony, a frequency of unity in heavenly places, a frequency of holiness, because God is holy. Be ye holy, even as the Lord is holy. So he was perfect in all his ways, the Bible says. He had a powerful position of influence, of leadership. He was in heaven, so he was right there. He really knows all about music. He knows about worship. So when he fell now, when Lucifer now, when iniquity, the next verse after that speaks about the iniquity that was found in him, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the devil, and Lucifer was cast out right in the beginning. He fell, but he retained his gifts. He never lost his anointing, in a sense. He never lost his gifts. He's still a powerful being. But he was perverted in the fall. So when Lucifer fell, there was always that musical ability inside of him. He knew the power of music. He'd experienced it. Maybe he had been, even God had used him down that way. So when he fell now, he became Satan. The angels became demons. They became fallen angels. They fell from light into chains of darkness, the Bible says. So he fell from that frequency of heaven, and he fell now into a fallen frequency. So Lucifer, Satan, operates at a fallen frequency. So his anointing, his inspiration, though he's anointed, though he inspires people, but it's not the original frequency anymore of heaven. He's fallen from that. So everything inspires, every person he anoints him with a fallen frequency. Now, Lucifer now, he falls from the presence of God. Cain, he's banished from the presence of God. Now, Cain also, he's been there. He's been at the altar. He wants to worship because there's a desire. There's this innate desire in each and every one of us to worship. Every person, there's something inside of them to worship. But because we've fallen, our worship isn't at the right frequency. So we'll end up worshiping the wrong things. So from the presence of God, here comes Lucifer. He comes down. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. He walks up and down amongst the sons of God. He comes into Eden. Man falls now. So man now, just as much as Lucifer now, he becomes Satan. He's inherited this fallen nature. When he fell from heavenly places, when he was banished, his nature was changed from what it was. He's now got a fallen nature. He's now, Lucifer has a carnal nature. He desires things that are dirty. He desires things that are evil. He desires things that are wicked. He desires things that are sensual. How do you know that's true? Because whenever an evil spirit comes into a person, those are the kinds of things they desire. Those are the kinds of things that that spirit leads them to do. So that fallen frequency in Lucifer, when man fell now, man fell from the image of God into this fallen carnal nature, which our brother preached so well about last Friday night, the battle of the two natures. So man, we, fallen man, mortal beings, we have this fallen nature as well. And straight away when man falls, this is what it says in this Only Belief article. It says, Satan began to flaunt sensuality as a substitute for spirituality. And that's an important point, because the right anointing, the right music is going to lead you into spirituality. The wrong music is going to lead you into sensuality. Because Satan has fallen. His frequency doesn't minister to your soul. He can't anymore. That's not his realm. But the frequency of the evil, of the darkness that Satan now is in, anything he inspires and anoints, it influences people towards sensuality. That's why look at the music, look at the films, look at the video games even, so many of them. It's sensuality. That's what's that anointing. It's drenched this generation with sensuality, the sexual revolution, all the things that we see taking place. So he elevated knowledge above revelation. And he equated holiness with physical beauty. You know, so you can really see fallen man trying to find the way. These are the things that he looks for. He's, let me just seek for knowledge. Yeah. If you want to get married, look for physical beauty. That's fallen. That's carnal. You're not operating in the spirit when you're doing that. We need to come up higher. We need a new birth. And when we're operating in the realm of sensuality, and friends, music, there's very little else that can really promote sensuality like music. Music can so affect your mood. You just put on, when you're in the world, that romantic kind of music before you went out. It didn't take long until you were in the realm of sensuality. It like energizes the fallen man. That's what music does. It energizes the fallen part of fallen man. That's why some music, like rap music, it's rebellious, you see. Now, so you get under the influence of that music, you can tell it doesn't come from heaven, because where did rebellion start with? It started with Lucifer. So when he falls, now he's going to anoint people with the spirit of rebellion in any way that he can. Music, and what about rock music? Yeah, violent and aggressive. And, yeah, and then you get all of this modern day pop music, which is so full of sensuality. If you just listen to it, you feel you got it. Even in the shop, you feel you need to take a bath afterwards, spiritually speaking, because it really has an anointing upon it. And if you will allow that music, you start listening to it, you start meditating upon it, it's going to start arousing certain passions in your fallen humanity, which the Bible doesn't want to be roused up by these kinds of things. So we really need to be careful on this. So I really thought that's very true. So one measure of your music, does it promote spirituality? Does it make Jesus more precious to you? Does it make you want to live a holy life? Does it make you want to get in the word and get in prayer? Does it make you want to walk in the will of God? Does it inspire you in that way? Does it raise you up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I was told that when I was still in the Pentecostal church. It was advice that came from David Wilkerson, who wrote Cross and the Switchblade. He says, if you want to just judge your music very quickly, pray, get in the word, get yourself anointed by the Spirit of God, then listen to the music that you listen to. Does that music keep you in the Spirit, or does that music take you out of the Spirit? And you're going to find just by that simple principle of allowing the Holy Ghost that you're fellowshipping with to bear record of or against the music you listen to, you're going to be able to find out whether maybe that music you listen to is the right frequency or not. Because the music God wants us to listen to comes from it operates at the right frequency. It doesn't operate at this fallen frequency. So when Lucifer and Cain now come together, imagine here's this fallen being who is so powerful in heaven. Here's this fallen creation, Cain, and they come together in the land of Nod. Ah, here comes a real bad partnership, because you've got two things that are going to speak to one another. Here's a fallen being, an anointed being, and here's a fallen nature inside of a person. They're going to find a lot of harmony between them. They're going to be able to achieve a lot. And as soon as they come together, Satan starts to build his Eden now. This society that we see now. And it's not going to be surprising to find, as we saw last week, one of the first things that comes out under Satan's Eden, under the lineage of Cain, when he departs from the presence of God, is music starts to come forth. Jubal, his great-great-grandson, he starts bringing forth the stringed instruments, the percussion instruments. So man has to worship. There's something about us. We want music. We want something to minister to us. But which dimension is this music obviously coming from? It's coming from a fallen dimension. They've come out of the presence of God. This music never originated in the presence of God. So it's going to bring forth no good thing. And you can trace this kind of music down to Genesis 6, when the sons of God started to listen to the same music and started to marry those beautiful daughters of Cain. The daughters of man, the sons of God looked at the daughters of man, that they were fair to look at. And they took of them and entered into marriage. And God says, my spirit is grieved. 120 years, I'm destroying the whole thing. Then you come to Baal Peor, when God calls Israel out of Egypt. And here comes the world, now Moab, the worldly church, and invite them now to come to the feast. And now here's the music. And here's, you know, there's the sensuality. And the girls of Moab, they're dressed in all of their modern day stripped down fashion. And the sons of Israel, sons of God, they fall for the daughters of man once again. But there was music and there was worship to set an atmosphere, because always it needs an atmosphere before anything can be done. And music is one of the most powerful mediums to set an atmosphere. You know, if you find somebody listening all the time to that rebellious music, watch when they come from listening to that music. Watch the kind of attitude and mood they're in. You find someone listening to worship and getting into the sweetness of worship. Watch when they come from that place. You'll see it by the spirit they're in when they come from there. It really does do something, music. Now, the prophet says this. Let's get on to this before we finish off. We know this quote, but just to show the power of music. I don't care how good a home a child has been brought up in and how it's been taught to do right. If that child hasn't accepted the experience of the new birth, rock and roll music catches his attention just as quick as he hears it. That's a serious thing. So what is he saying? Exactly the same thing we've been saying along. Until you're born again, you are operating at a fallen frequency. You're born with that frequency. Your desires are at that frequency. And you respond to the frequency of the world. When the devil offers you things because he's operating at a fallen frequency, when he inspires music, you're going to respond to that music. You're going to enjoy that music. When he inspires movies, you're going to enjoy that kind of a film. When he inspires fashion with his fallen frequency, because you are operating, you're a carnal person operating at a fallen frequency, something inside of you is going to respond. It's a deep in you is going to desire and respond to that frequency of whatever it is, the works that Satan does. So it's just natural for worldly people to love worldly music. We all did it before we were born again. It's natural. It's just in you. Yeah, that music, it catches your attention. Why? And he goes on to say, because in him or in her is born in him by nature a carnal spirit. So you're born with this fallen spirit. And Satan is a fallen being and you have a harmony one with another. You're going to listen to everything he says. When he offers you something, you're going to enjoy it, but not in your soul. It's going to be in the realm of your spirit. Your soul, there's a deep inside of there that's seeking for the genuine something. And Satan's going to keep offering you all these substitutes to try to keep you satisfied as much as he can. But to the believer, there's a deep inside of the soul of a person. So in you, he says, the prophet goes on to say, and the power of the devil is so great today till it catches the spirit of that little one. Oh my. My. That's quite a thing to think about. Yeah, the spirit. The power of the devil is so great today that it catches the spirit of the little one. Why is the power of the devil so great today? Because of this digital age. Because it's on your phone. It's just so easy to get hold of. You watch the videos. It's not just now. Everything is interactive now. It's not just that you're listening to a song. You had to buy your old long playing record and stick it on and it didn't play so well. And then we went onto the cassettes and sometimes it got mangled up and it wasn't so easy to find the song you wanted to listen to. Then the CDs came and they were pretty good, but you could only have so many songs on a CD and it wasn't convenient to carry around a whole big pack of CDs with you. Now, then the MP3 player started to come, the iPod, first of all. Now you could put thousands of songs in your pocket with a battery that lasts you for several days. Stick your earphones in your ear. And it's so easy to find the songs, the artists, the genre of music that you wanted to listen to. And now you can take it to the movies as well. Now you can just watch the movies on your phone. You can watch the movies wherever you are. So easy, streaming and all that. This digital age has just made all of this entertainment, this fallen frequency that Satan inspires. It's just so readily available that people are just soaking it in all the time. And if you're not born again, if the Lord has never touched your soul, if you've never tasted of heaven, that carnal spirit inside him, that fallen nature that you're born with, that music of the world is going to catch you as sure as the world. Even though you'll know inside of yourself, this music's wrong. I know it, at Sunday school, they tell us it's wrong. I know that it's wrong. But there's a frequency inside of you that responds to the frequency inside of that music. Absolutely. Even when you're born again, you go in a shop and they play the old music you used to listen to when you're in the nightclub. There's something in your flesh still responds to that. Your soul doesn't respond, but there's still something that responds there because that frequency of what it operated inside of you in days gone by before God, rich in mercy, delivered us from that life. So the prophet's giving us a really important principle here that is just natural in fallen man to respond to this fallen music. And that's one way you can tell whether you're born again. If you're not born again, friends, Christian music is boring. Unless you get some of this Hillsong United or whatever, which is just worldly music with Christian words. It's just the same music they play in the nightclub, but they put Christian words to it. And generally speaking, when you're not in the spirit, you don't like slow music. Yeah, you find that as believers. We all want the fast music. You go to church, you're not really feeling in the spirit. Hey, we don't really want Brother George to get up there and sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Now, you want those kind of songs, the fast one, kick him down. Yeah, it's just natural for us, I get. But the closer you get to the Lord in worship, the more you want to get in the spirit of worship. To raise up your hands and to enter into those songs of worship Now that is, like we've always said to the musicians, the ultimate aim of the song leader is to bring people into worship. Anybody can lead people in praise and get people excited, everybody jumping about and being happy, which is good. It's good to start church like that. But that grace of God, that anointing upon the song leader, that choosing the right moment, the right time, the right transition from one form of music to another to bring people into worship, that is an art that needs the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And what a difference it is for a minister. Anybody who preaches will say, when you come, like the prophet says, into a church where people are in the spirit of worship, it's so wonderful because the atmosphere is now getting deeper and deeper as people get into worship. Sometimes we can have praise in church. It doesn't create an atmosphere because praise is maybe just entertaining ourselves. We're enjoying it. You know, we're marching around the church. Yeah, we're enjoying ourselves. But worship, now you start to minister to the Lord. Now you're starting to set your heart on him. You know, only a believer can worship. No unbeliever can worship because worship is the response to redemption. He's done something inside of you. And now there's something inside of you that wants to give back to him. And that's to give back to him in worship. Okay, so let's see what they say before we close in the world. These are famous people. This is from Hell's Bells 2, which is a tremendous resource. Some people have seen this before. We did the music weekend some years back. But this is Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa is one of the foremost authorities on music. He was a big musician. He's been called, used by the American government to understand all different things about music and so forth. But listen to what he says, exactly the same as Brother Branham is saying. Listen to what they say, these musicians. He says, I realize that this music, he's speaking of rock music, got through to the youngsters because the big beat match the great rhythms of the human body. So the beat in the music, where's this beat coming from? From Lucifer, from Satan. He knows the frequency. He's operating at a certain frequency. Satan knows what fallen carnal people are going to respond to because he's fallen and carnal himself. So the big beat, so the beat of the worldly music, it matches the rhythms of the human body. Now the rhythms of your human body is not spiritual. Because you are a mammal, as we saw that, and you're a warm-blooded mammal. You know, there's nothing spiritual about your flesh. Your body doesn't desire to worship God. It's your soul that desires to worship God. That's why you're going to find there's a response straight away. So he says, I realized this music got through to the youngsters because the big beat matched the great rhythms of the human body. And I knew there was nothing that anyone could do to knock that out of them, which is a lie. Because it's the paradox of the new birth. But yes, he doesn't understand the new birth. So to him, he knows there's even all the good teaching their parents are going to give them, all the teaching that they get at Sunday school is all fine. That's okay. Let them have 13, 14 years old. They've gone through Sunday school. Then we'll have our opportunity with the music. And the music is going to hit exactly that fallen rhythm. No matter the teaching they've been taught with, they're going to respond to our music straight away. And is that not the case, saints? Every single one of us who are in the world, we know, amen on that. That this man knows what he's speaking about. There's something in that beat. We'll see where that beat comes from as we go. This is him, Frank Zappa. He continues, says, I realize that they will carry this with them the rest of their lives. I am so glad that is not true. I'm so glad there was a from that time when Jesus, in his mercy, revealed himself to me. And when I drank of the living waters, I thirsted no more for that. Yes, your flesh can still respond to it. But greater is he that is in you than this flesh that you're dwelling in. The new birth has dominion over the flesh. You know, so you can see these musicians, they realize that there's something about this. Okay, now the next guy I'm going to quote from is David Lane. I think his name is. No, it's Mickey Hart. Another very famous guy, writes a lot of books about music and the psychology of music and that. And he says, music is the most powerful medium in the world because of the frequencies. Can you see the terminology they're using? Now, that's why I was really stressing at the beginning that Satan in the beginning was operating at a seventh dimension frequency when he was in the seventh dimension. But when he fell now into darkness, he now operates at a carnal frequency, at a sinful frequency. It's just the nature of Satan to operate at that frequency now. And when man fell, man is subject to the same frequency. So there's a harmony between man and the devil. And Paul picks it up in the book of Romans, and he says that the flesh, the mind of the flesh hates God. He says the natural man, the fallen man, he hates God, but he won't admit it because he's scared of going to hell. But the natural man is like Satan. You know, he really agrees with the devil. If there was no hell, you would just have a jamboree on this earth. But some people restrain themselves because they're just scared of hell, which is a sad thing, because the new birth sets you free from that bondage. That's why you must be born again, as Jesus said. So music is the most powerful medium in the world because of the frequencies. Then he goes on to say, dear friends, I've discovered, along with many others, the extraordinary power of music. The extraordinary power of music. Particularly percussion to influence the human mind and body. What is percussion? That's our drums, our cymbals, our rattles, our tambourines. It's the percussion, especially the drums. That's why in the temple worship, they never allowed drums in the temple in the Old Testament. You know, there's something, if somebody's not born again and they play those drums, be careful. Because you can use those drums and you can start hitting a certain rhythm and a certain beat, and you're going to start people responding in a certain way, as sure as the world. There's something about it. And they found out that particularly the percussion instruments, there was a real power in them to influence the human mind and the human body. So he goes on to say, he went to this place and he saw rock and roll music in America. He said, it was my first exposure, when he watched rock music at a concert, to the mother rhythms from West Africa that later mutated into my tradition, becoming rock and roll, which is now rock music. Because rock and roll became rock, which is rap, which is all the different pop, all the different genres that we speak of now. But look where he's tracing it from. He says, when he came in and he started to see the power, especially of drums, when they started to bring rock and roll music in and play it to young people, teenage people in America, and the response they started to see, the behavior they started to see, he said, it was my first exposure to the mother rhythms from West Africa, from the jungles, from the jungle drums. Yeah. And that's the type of music which you would have had with Cain and them at first, to call up, you know, get in the spirit. We used to live on a farm, and we used to have our workers used to live in a little village just nearby. And on every second, third Friday, they used to have a time they wanted to summon the spirits, and we would hear the drums now start. And they would play those drums. They would start to dance. They would drink traditional brew and all that kind of stuff. And they would go on until 1, 2 in the morning, and then that spirit would come down and possess somebody. And now they would come and consult that medium, and the spirit would speak through a vessel. But it was the drums, that beating of the drums, that rhythm of the drums, that gets people into that kind of dancing, gets people into that kind of a frenzy, a kind of a trance. You can imagine that kind of music probably was what it was in Mount Carmel with Elijah, when the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves and beating and jumping on the altar. It was that carnal beat, carnal frequency of music. And when they trace rock and roll music, they trace it back to the jungle drum. So I just put a picture there. So this is just a modern day version of that. When you go to the rock concert and the guy's playing his drums, it's the same beat, same frequency, has the same effects on people as when you go to Africa and voodoo in South America, and that when they play those drums and they play that beat, you have a look at the way people behave. Look at those rock concerts. People will be doing filthy acts right in the concert. People become violent, people kill each other, people start breaking up the stage. Go and have a look at what happens in this concert. Where does it come from? There's power in that music. They're ministering a certain frequency of music, a fallen frequency to a frequency of fallen nature. It has to have a response. And that's why he's honest enough, that guy, to say, look, I traced it back to Africa. This rock music came from the jungle drums of Africa. That beat of the music, that rhythm of the music, which is all of the new music we listen to, that beat, that rhythm, that rock and roll, that brother says you should never have rock and roll in the church. It's that beat, it's that rhythm, that sensuality. It starts now to minister to the fallen man. It energizes your passions. My, when we're in the world, you know what it's like, friends. It's not a nice thing. You end up doing things that later on you really regret. So rock and roll in the 1960s, it evolved into the more international things, became rock music and then pop music, which is like the lighter version, but far more sensual, whereas the rock music is more in your face and violent and aggressive. But the pop music with all of this, Mariah Carey and all of them, it's just so sensual, all filthy words. And you know what it does to you when you listen to that kind of music. Okay, coming to a close. He continues, he says, all I knew then was that whenever I played this music at parties, the room would transform. Oh, friends, if only it can be like that in church, yeah? When the song leader gets up there, starts to worship, the room transforms now. You find, hey, he has people coming, they're sleeping, you have people coming, they're kicking their feet to come to church. The song leader gets up. The frequency, the Holy Ghost frequency of the music, Holy Ghost frequency of the songs, the atmosphere, the divine energy that's being ministered to the souls of people through the song worship, you find people start to wake up, start to, hey, let's get into the things of the Lord. Now let's worship the Lord. Oh, by the time the preacher comes, oh, friends, you are alive. You are just ready to hear from the Lord. But he would come in here and he says he would go to these cosmopolitan places, to these places where all, you know, the people are having their wine and cheese do's and all that, and they're dressed in all of their fancy garb. And he'd start playing this kind of music in the 1960s and 70s. He said, I was shocked to see the way that people started to behave, the way they started to dance. They started to dance the same way that people dance in Africa to the drums. Because that frequency ministers to the frequency. He says it was as though the rhythm of the drum was calling up something from these sleek cosmopolitan bodies that had been asleep. So, you know, they've been brought up in Christian America in the 1940s, 50s under the revival. The revival finishes now. The Holy Ghost starts to lead, depart. Carnality starts coming, but people are still religious. And then Elvis now comes in, the first one in the 1950s with the rock and roll. And he's a sensation. Now, we can't even say on air some of the things about Elvis. I mean, you can't. It's just too filthy. But he opened it up. And you see the way the girls were going crazy, were going to trances, and the things that would take place even in the bodies of the girls in the concerts because of that frequency, how he would dance and the beat of the music. He opened the door for that into Christian so-called America. And people that have known it's not right to behave like that, it's not right to dance like that, as soon as they were exposed to this rock and roll music, which became rock and so on, it just awakened something. It's like called up something in them that had long been fallen asleep. It like revived that carnal nature, that passion, which people had all the time been preaching to them to mortify the deeds of the flesh. This now came and energized the deeds of the flesh. And like I was going to say, maybe next time I might do it, but be careful, friends. When you feed your enemy, he's going to overpower you in the end. And this kind of music, it feeds your carnal nature. So don't be surprised if you listen to sensual music, if you're overcome with lust. Don't be surprised. Because you feed your enemies, you're going to get overcome in the end. Paul says we should mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Don't feed your enemy. If you know you've got a weakness towards certain kinds of music from the world, stay away from those things completely. I remember Brother George when he came and he had been the DJ and all that kind of stuff and he asked for music. We gave Brother George some strong medicine of music. We gave him the Believers, first of all, you know. Oh, friend, that is just... When you're going from listening to, I don't know what Brother George's music was that he used to listen to. I wasn't in the same music as him. But yes, when you went from that nightclub kind of music and then we gave him Believers music, yeah, that was a way to quickly die to that old influence. And God granted a lot of grace because you don't want to play around with that old enemy that led you to do so many things. You want to burn that bridge, cut off. My tent is no more pitched. I'm having nothing to do with this music anymore. Whether it's got Christian words or not, it's still got the same beat as that same music I used to listen to. It'll still wake up those passions. It'll still start igniting those things inside of you the way that it does in this generation. So he says that rhythm of the drum was calling up something from these sleek cosmopolitan bodies, these businesswomen and these businessmen that had been asleep. Oh, friends, that's the age that we're living in. There's the revival of darkness in the last days, revival of paganism in the last days. As people have rejected the revival of the Holy Ghost, pushed God out of society, look what's come in paganism and darkness and all this music, which you see now, it's nothing new under the sun. The thing that is now has already been, it's just a rebranding of the old occult, the old witchcraft, the old voodoo music of Africa and South America, and, you know, of all those Haiti and all those places where they summon the spirits and so forth. It's the same beat, same rhythm of music. But now they just put other words on it. They use, you know, they polish it up a little bit, but it has exactly the same effect because it's exactly the same devil that inspired it. So friends, music is a very, very powerful thing. We need to be very careful of it. Now, let's finish with this. So what does Bach say about it? He was a Christian composer. He said the aim and end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. That's what genuine music should do to you. It should give glory to God, and it should refresh you in your soul, refresh your spirit as well. And when you're feeling down, you don't know what to do, and you start doing something, washing the car, you listen to good Holy Ghost music, good inspired music, it'll minister you the same way that it did. It'll minister you like it did Elisha into the right place. But if you start putting on some of that other type of Christian music that's sensual and worldly, I don't think it's going to bring you out of that place. I think it's going to keep you in that place. You know, so as you're starting to see, we'll start to get into it a little bit better next week by the grace of God. But it's mainly just the source. You know, if you think of Cain coming out of the presence of God, and then from him, his children proceeded music and worship. Obviously, all this paganism, all these cults, all these idols came from Cain's lineage. It was all a perversion of the genuine religion. So his music was a perversion of that genuine worship that was in heaven, the genuine frequency of music that glorified God in heaven. Oh, friends, it's a lovely thing to have music that glorifies God and refreshes your soul, whatever type of music you like. But it's got to meet those two criteria, or there's something wrong with that kind of a music. So, saints, let's finish off there. I think people are probably saying, look, that's enough anyhow. That's more than enough. You're starting to step on my toes now. You know? But maybe by the grace of God next week, let's start bringing it a little bit closer home. Let's start looking, especially getting into the message and seeing what is the criteria of spiritual music, of music that's inspired from God. What is the criteria? What is the criteria of a good song? You know, what is the criteria of a good item, a good special in church? Sometimes you see the Lord so much bless us, like recently, like Brother Jess did that special, that it was such a blessing. You know, you find Sister Sharon the other week, Sister Becky, have a look even with Carmel and James and them. Look at you'll find a real blessing comes down and people are really moved by something to worship and to glorify God, and the Spirit of God responds to that kind of music. Our friends, if that's wonderful in church when the Spirit of God responds to music, should that not be what we're trying to emulate with music in the car, with music on our phones, you know, music which we're listening to when you're on the bus going to college? Should it not be the music that does the same thing to us, that puts us in the Spirit if you're not in the Spirit, that takes us deeper in the Spirit if you're already in the Spirit? You know, so I think we're going to find out that the Holy Ghost is the best judge of music. You know, he really knows what you and I need. And if we could just be sensitive to him and follow him, he'll lead us into that which not only pleases us and pleases him, but is good for us as well. Let's just pray. Father, we do ask for your grace. We do ask for your mercy in this, Lord, that you would help us and lead us and guide us, Lord. We want to please you in every aspect of life. Lord, we want that door of entertainment in our hearts to be governed by you. So you lead us and guide us, Lord. I pray, even as we've spoken of the new birth, if there's anyone of our young ones, Lord, that still responds in their hearts to the world, to this music, I pray, Lord, that Jesus, you would draw near to them and reveal yourself to them, that, Lord, you may do that greatest of all miracles, Lord, to change somebody's nature from, Lord, that which is carnal to that which desires heavenly things. Let it be so, Lord. Bless your people as we finish up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. Anybody have any questions there? Anything they'd like to ask or to say? Rachel was just saying that if you're washing your car while you're in the spirit, it's like you're almost baptizing your car. Yeah. Which is true. It's good to be in the spirit, saints, and whatever it is we can find to keep us in the spirit. If you find there's certain people that when you fellowship with them, if you're not in the spirit, they help you to get in the spirit. If you are in the spirit, they take you deeper in the spirit. That is the Holy Ghost bearing witness that those are the people you should be fellowshipping with at that time. Where at the same time, there might be other people, they might be called believers, they might be called Christians, but you fellowship with them and they don't take you in the spirit. They pull you out of the spirit. Like we've always said, you leave there, you don't really feel like praying, you feel discouraged, you're questioning certain things. I really do believe the witness, the personal witness and testimony of the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us something on those things. And if we have ears to hear, we'll hear his voice at that time. Anybody else, saints, before we finish off? Looks like it's a half hour silence. If anybody has anything they want to have a look at, like I said, drop a question in there. If you've got any questions about any certain types of music. You know, I just think there's just certain genres of music. And if you trace them back, like reggae music, you just trace it back to its origin and its source. You're not going to find very much good coming from reggae music. You know, you're taking it back to Bob Marley, taking it back to Jimmy Cliff, taking it back to I and I, you know, and all this stuff. You find the very... The fountain that the music comes from, it's a very polluted fountain from its source. And a lot of music, you've got to trace it back to those things. Brother Sasha, God bless you, man.
God bless you, everybody. And thank you. It's a very good subject. And just what I remember about when the Brother Branham talked about Sister Nelly Sanders, went on that disco or something, when she went to dance or something, how she came to his house, and when they pray for her, how this big
spirit like a Batman,
yeah, something like that, came out of her, and there was some guy also drunk over there. They were terrified about this. But how much Holy Spirit have power if the devil can cause something, if you go somewhere where is this music and receive this bad anointing, how much Holy Spirit have more power? So
that's just, so true, bro.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
Thanks so much, but that's a very good one. I'll just read you one quote here from Brother Bram, exactly what you're saying, the same kind of a thing. This is from the Message prophet Elisha. He says, brother, that's what's the matter with the church today. The reason we don't see visions, he's speaking about how Elisha couldn't see a vision because the spirit wasn't on him. But the music ministered to him in the spirit, then he could see the vision. So the prophet said, that's the reason we don't see the visions, is because we don't pray long enough or do something long enough until the spirit of God comes into our midst. We used to sing the old-fashioned songs until tears run down our cheeks. And sinners got saved even before the preacher got to the platform. Now, just because of the anointing and the song worship, like you saying there, bro, she went to a dance, a disco, a nightclub, and she got in back into old things, and that demon came into her again, that atmosphere now, and she received the evil spirit. Whereas a person can come into church, and just because of the song worship, because the anointing gets so deep, a person can repent because of that. Wow, that's quite a thought. And he says, but today we get away from that. You know, it's really good. Maybe next time we look at some of those things by the grace of God. But yes, brother, thank you for that. That's very true. Good to see you, Isaac, again. Really, really good to see you. Thank you for the comment there as well. It's a tricky topic, music, because it's so varied and diverse, and there's so many different things. Thank you, Brian. May the Lord bless you as well. Brian George?
Now, Tony, he has a question there. I'll ask him to go first.
Okay, Brian Tony, please go ahead, bro.
No, it was about the issue with the music as well. And Sasha actually, Brother Sasha actually answered that already. Because I was just about what I wanted to say to him was, music actually can grab you.
Amen.
When it does grab you, it's I tell you, it's a very, very difficult thing to let go of.
Yeah.
Because me myself, even till this day, I still love the rhythm of reggae music. I tell you. And I can't get it. Honestly, I have to tell you the truth.
Yes, I understand.
Honestly, when it grabs you. It doesn't play with you.
Amen.
I was even pictured with Bob Marley myself.
Yes.
I had a photograph of Bob Marley, standing close to him. So I tell you, when that music gets a hold of you, doesn't.
Amen. That's true, bro.
That's a very, very powerful thing, the spirit of music. So people should be very careful of what they listen to. It's not just putting your ear and just thinking that if it grabs you, I'll tell you, you're gone.
Because
the rhythm will take you and it'll go with you. Just like what you said about the rhythm. It's people don't understand music. Music is, rhythm is like something that it's a flow.
That's what it is.
So when you get the rhythm, it flows with you and goes with you and goes with you. But it takes you away, into some other place. But when you realize what's going on and you're holding your head, oh, by the way, I had followed something, you see.
That's right.
So rhythm is a tune and it's a flow.
Yep.
So a lot of people don't know that. When people speak of demonic music, it's a rhythm they get to, you see, that they get into and get into that flow. That flow is the one that grabs you and pulls you
back. That's true, bro. Absolutely.
So I was also a DJ like George as well. I started way before George, and I listened to a lot of reggae music, and it stayed in my head even till this day. I find it very difficult to even. That's why I don't play reggae music at all.
Amen, absolutely.
Get away from that there, so I know exactly what it is. And you spoke about rock and roll music, stuff like in the realms of. If you remember, Brother Andrew, I think when we grew up together in Gweru, there was a group called Boston. Remember that group?
Very much, bro. I used to listen to
Boston. That was actually like another realm of its music, because it actually speaks of the spiritual kingdom. People don't know those words. If you read those words, and what he's saying of is actually speaking of another world, another kingdom, where you'd shut your eyes to that. And that's the thing that grabs you. So
even Brother Tony, if you take that one, like the good example which is always given is the Eagles, Hotel California. I mean, used to always say, "Welcome to the Hotel California," and they don't realize that Hotel California was the first church of Satan in California. Yes. That's what it says, you can check in, but you can never leave, such a lovely place and all that.
Exactly.
People don't realize. We'll get onto it next time. That was the point I wanted to get onto, is every song that strikes home, there's a reason behind it. That song hit an inspiration. Why did that song? Where did the inspiration? Why do certain songs really strike and certain songs don't? In your Christian realm and in the other, we'll really get onto that next time to really show why songs like that really hit home.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, right? When the Beatles, they sung Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, was a big song. That's LSD, which was drugs. People don't know. Then they sing Hey Jude. When I put you under my skin, then the fun begins. People listen to those songs in the shops. It's drugs. You're putting something under your skin, and then the fun begins. They were so much into drugs, into the occult and that. You see, and now they were preaching their message, their testimony, their experience, their inspiration they received in their songs. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't listen to that song. Yeah, imagine that they love John Lennon's Imagine that song. Imagine there's no heaven.
Oh, no.
It's easy if you try. Imagine. no hell above us, nothing above but sky.
Lord have
mercy. Imagine all the people living for today. And people say, oh, what a nice song. That's a song from hell. That's an evil song. Ish. But that time when we, when Brother George and I, when we were young, you were there, Tony, as well. I think you watched as well. When we watched that rock, that Hell's Bells, the dangers of rock music.
Oh,
pretty good. Because he quoted Mencius, the Chinese philosopher, who said, this is what he says, to act without investigation. Yeah? No, to act without understanding, to form habits without investigation, to follow a path all one's life without knowing where it really leads, such is the behavior of the multitude. You know, we just accept things and we form habits. We don't know where's this music coming from. What is this song meaning? What is it saying? Who sang the song? Where did it come from? What is the message in the song? No, I just like the song. And you put the earphone in and the devil is preaching to you. Right into you. And you're in fellowship with the powers of darkness because that's where that song came from. Yeah, and that's why, like, you'll take it to reggae music. I mean, reggae music comes from a false religion.
Oh, yes, that does.
Yeah, because they say, you know, Haile Selassie is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And, you know, that song.
They believe he's the Messiah.
All of that. So you find that the pool, the source, is a polluted source. That's why we need the genuine Holy Ghost source, the genuine inspired source. The Holy Ghost inspires different kinds of music. It may have a different kind of a beat. It may have somewhat be faster, slower. You know, just like in the songs of worship, you're going to find songs of all different varying beats and, you know, types of music. But you want to make sure that it's come from the right source, that it's got the right message, that it's got the right frequency. Sister Bibi has asked a good question there, saying, is it okay for Ellie, that's Ellie Jr., I think, not Brother Ellie, to listen to therapy music to calm him or to make him concentrate, which is not Christian or worldly? Now, I'd say, so it's a good question. You will sense yourself in your spirit that music. You know, when you listen to a certain kind of, it may just be a peaceful music. You know, sometimes they put those things on where you listen to the sounds of certain things just to calm you down. As soon as you listen to it yourself as a believer, the witness of the Holy Ghost in your soul will tell you whether this has got something evil in it. If it doesn't have any evil in it, fine. You know, if you yourself can lie down and listen to that music and it doesn't disturb you, fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that kind of thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yes, bro?
Brother, quick one. You know, the music for children or anybody who's under therapy, and especially when it comes to people who are ill in mental health institutes. I work in a mental health institute. They must be very careful and actually follow who plays that music because there is a trap as well within those things. A lot of people don't quite understand. There is some therapy music I'll play for you one day. I'll show you on YouTube that some people play, but there is a spirit that's behind that thing. Uh-huh. Because you can actually see within the hospitals I used to work in, you would actually see the people react to that music. There's a following and there's a thing that actually triggers them. They get very violent after listening to that music there. They must be very careful. I would advise it to stick to the Christian music.
Yeah.
It's much, much more better, you know. Because the thing that's got Christ in it is much more better than you listening to something from the world. You would say, you know, like, we've got all these things. People will say autism, learning disabilities and all those things. There's all these different characteristics, PDs, prosthetic disorders and all that. There are all these all characteristics in these things, schizophrenic and all that. But what is it behind that's all these things? You know, we've named these things. Why are they named by people of these things? And people will tell you that this is what this person has. And that now, if you are a very white, if I would advise Brother Ellie to play Christian music. It's much, much more better. I know you like that.
Yeah.
But there's some music, you know, like you can play, like where you can buy, you know, like cartoon music, like, you know, like this music, you know, that they can get a small piano, like what Brother Vlad has left here, this thing here.
Yeah, the keyboard.
They can rather give that to the child to play with, you know. It's much, much more better because it'll actually help the child do certain things.
I think it's when, it's music like to help somebody concentrate to calm them. It's a good point by Tony Adrelli. We had cassettes. I think we almost wore them out. When all the children were young, we used to play the cassette. It was like, it was a Christian guy, I can't remember what it was, and a girl, but it was called like Songs for Slumber. And even up to now, I really love listening to that music. It just has such, it's sweet, sweet music. You play it when the children are going to sleep. You know, that kind of music. And it's really blessed. You do get some things like it. But like I'm saying, Brother Tony, the witness of your own that John says, the Holy Ghost, you've received the anointing, it'll lead you into all truth. You and I, somebody might come and sing something in a church, and you sense it inside of your soul that there's something not quite right here. You know, that spirit of discernment inside of a believer. You can discern straight away. Somebody can come and claim to be a Christian and quote Christian things, and it's an uncertain sound inside of your soul. You just feel, I don't like to think like this, but hey, something doesn't seem right. Now, that happened with Brother Orman Neville, the pastor in Jeffersonville, when he really had a feel. There was somebody else in the church, and Brother Neville says whenever he came in contact with that person, he had such an ugly feeling, and he really thought there was something wrong with him. So he went to Brother Branham on personal counseling and said, Brother Branham, I really need to say this. Maybe it's to make it right. I don't understand. Whenever I come in contact with this person, I have such an ugly feeling. If you can pray for me that this feeling will go away. And Branham says, I'm not going to pray for that feeling to go away. That's the discernment of the Holy Ghost. Because if you knew the life that person is living, you would understand the way that you're feeling. You know, so it's that spirit of discernment inside of us. You can pick it up. That's why the brother says, until your children receive the new birth themselves, you need to be the Holy Ghost to them. You need to have the spirit of discernment for them. So the sister's asking the question because she wants to be the Holy Ghost, because the young man doesn't yet have the Holy Ghost. So she needs to discern, is this good for him or not? So the Holy Ghost in her will lead you into that. But yes, absolutely, bro. The safest way, yes, have a look if there's Christian music like that, because, although it's good to trace it to its source as well, to find that, because a lot of what's called Christian these days is, it's just the world. You find, like this, a lot of worldly musicians, they fail in the world and they come down into the Christian world now and they want to try to make some money. So they take that worldly gift, polish it up with Christian words, but it's still a worldly person. So, I think we need to have a discernment there. Thanks, bro. Thank you, man. Bro George. Carry on, bro George, then brother. So,
You once said, and I heard bro Buskell say it, is, look, it's not possible, but I've tried it all my life, is if you can, rather know the music of the people you listen to personally. Like, bro, because
there's a lot of... The life story, sort of. Yeah, the testimony, good.
Yeah, because there's a lot of music out there from believers, there's I won't say names, and a lot I've had that argument with young believers regarding certain people because of your discernment, and then later on in life you find stuff about that person.
Yeah,
exactly the way you discern.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But I want to do that. That just was adding to that point. I wanted to say just one small thing. I know you think it was a small topic, was very, very powerful. Very powerful. Mm. You wouldn't want to rob from it, because I know when I came to church, I would say I was insane, because seriously, it's not a joke, honestly. I had thousands upon thousands. I listened to music all the time. Yeah. I couldn't sleep without music. Music, when I go to bed, it was on. And I like one experience. The one denominational pastor said they were casting out a demon of one man, out of one man who was a worldly musician in my time. And then I kind of wondered, he was from a group called Color Me Bad. And the black man disappeared from that group. And I never knew what happened to that guy. But then later, when I became a believer, years and years later, This denominational preacher says that guy came and he gave his life to the Lord. Yeah. And he was in their church. And the deacons rang him because he was having contortions and demons, manifestations. Yeah. So he went to the house, and that guy, he was obviously a rich man. So he had massive windows. So he could see those guys, the one man handling four or five deacons. It was quite violent. Yeah. Then when he went in, he was scared. They were saying, come in. And then he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, play music.
Yeah.
And it was strange. And then he put an old cassette they had, and they were playing it while they were speaking to the man, and it pacified him. They prayed for him. And he says, years and years later, I wondered why it happened like that. He says, then something spoke to me and said that music was played in. So it had to be played out, the demon. But I just, and then the last point I wanted to give, just my personal experience, when I came to church, I would say the first few months I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
I could just hear like, brother, this is my, and many times, all I had, you know, I told you many times, all I had in my mind was kill yourself, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Kill. But where I realized later, years and years later, that came from all that music that I had amassed and listened to in my worldly experience.
Amen.
And brother, and where you see the power of music, last example, once going to work, I may have told you this one, going to work and I'm listening to a message. And there's this worldly song that's just coming in my mind. I haven't heard it for years.
Yeah.
Over 10, 12, 15 years. And it keeps coming back. And I try to play music. And it was bothering me all the way in the train, maybe a 40-minute ride to work, old place I used to work in. Then one lady phoned me. And she said, listen, my account's locked out. You need to come up and help me fix it. So I went up to her desk. And as I start helping her, she started singing that song.
Yes, yes.
And I said to her, hey, Cronian, how come you're singing that song? She said, I don't know. When you came, it just came on me. So, brother, we don't realize half, and that's why I'm so sensitive to what, for me, my personal walk. I'm so sensitive until I can take those old worldly songs. If I hear them, I get dizzy. I literally get dizzy. I feel my heart. I just don't feel right. I just want to run away from that presence. But just to say, the power in what you spoke and the power behind music and the origins of music and where it comes from and Satan is aimed. And then we think we can just take this, you know, they call it, I hear a lot of young Christians say, it's light Christian rock. Brother, it's darkness, absolute darkness. Thank you, Pastor, for what you spoke. May God bless you and may this take us far. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks so much, Pastor George. Brother James, hey, God bless, bro.
Bless you, man of God. Just wanted to contribute a little bit of music, my background in music. My experience would be as a song leader, I have seen that if you live a life, a song leader has got one of the most important jobs in the church, because you start to cast devils before the pastor comes.
Amen.
And what you do, the better you do that, the pastor finds a way of laying the word so easy. So that brings on me to say we need to pray for our song leaders.
Amen. Amen.
Our song leaders, they want to be constantly in the presence of God because they fight these principalities that we don't see or maybe know sometimes.
Yes, bro.
And like I look at Brother George, you know, I know what it means. I remember my experience one day when I was still in Zimbabwe. We come with brethren, we were fasting, we were praying, and it's a Friday service. We just start to sing a song.
Yeah.
And a demon manifests. It's a python spirit in a young girl. She just goes down on the floor. She crows like a snake, and she's hissing like a snake. She just turns to a snake.
Amen.
But because, you know, people are prayed up, that demon manifested, and people managed to cast it.
Amen.
There is a lot that goes
absolutely
behind, you know, more than just playing that guitar that Brother George does. There's a lot. So if we can, you know, it's important that we remember our song leaders, we pray for them, you know, we keep them in prayer because they do a serious, serious job.
Amen. True. Absolutely, bro. Thank you very much. But that's a very, very good one, bro. I think once, bro, we went to Avoca a couple of years back with all the musicians, and that we were speaking about that, about how in the Bible, when the Lord commanded worship in the temple, he divided things up. And what he did, he took the same Levites, so they all were like from the same like group of people, and He divided some, and he made some in charge of the music, some in charge of the sacrifices and offerings in the temple and so forth. You know, so I was trying to say to him, I was saying, you know, saints, when you're called to lead songs, it's not, it's like you're saying, Brother Ngubi, there, it's not an add-on ministry or just something. No. Yeah, the worship was just as much a part of temple service for the as the priest doing the offering and the priest doing the music. They were from the same priesthood. So I'm saying that you need to understand it's that same calling. You know, it's you, like you said, bro, a song leader can either make or break the service. You know, it's very easy. A song leader getting out of the spirit and saying the wrong thing can just grieve the people, yeah, and grieve the Holy Ghost. And then you find, hey, it's tough for the minister now to have to come and try to resurrect that. That really needs the grace of God. It's the same as the song leader may do a tremendous job. And then the minister gets up and says the wrong thing and offends people unnecessarily and grieves the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like it's such a partnership here, you know, between the song leader and the minister that's coming on. I gave that example once. I remember the first time when Brother David Nash came and he visited us. And we were still in Mill Street in town there. And it was a Saturday evening. And we went to church. We drove down. He came with his daughter. And so just before the service, you know, just while he was, before he preached, he said, look, my daughter, she loves to sing items. Maybe she can come and sing us a song. And she got up there and she sung that song. The testimony of the Lord is right, you know. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And it was a blessed item. And the brother just got in the pulpit and said, oh, that's amazing. That's my text. You know, he was going to preach about the law of the Lord is perfect. And I love it like that with Brother George. So many times we've had it in church, especially after service. You know, you get into a certain frequency of preaching. There's a certain anointing there. The song leader hits into that anointing as well. And inside your heart, you'll be thinking, Brother George, what can we sing? And you think in your heart, I really think we should sing such and such a song. I bless your name. And Brother George said, let's sing I bless your name. Because he's picked up exactly the right frequency of song to go with the frequency, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was on the message. Whereas it's quite an easy thing. I did it wrong the other day at church. Sometimes you'll say, let's sing a certain song. And then that song doesn't match what was preached. So the ministers put a certain anointing, because the prophet says the anointing of healing is different than the anointing of singing. It's different than the anointing of evangelism. So there's a certain anointing that comes. Like if someone's evangelizing and really calling people to repentance, then you sing those songs of I've wandered far away from God and so forth. You know, like it's the same frequency of song. You're ministering the same anointing in a musical way. Whereas, you know, sometimes we can say, let's sing a song. And then straight away, even the song leader feels it himself after service when he chooses the wrong song. Everyone in church will feel it because that song doesn't hit the spot. And I've seen Brother George do it before. Choose a song and he'll quickly realize, nah, that's not really the right song. And the next song he'll hit will be exactly the right song. And this whole spirit in the church just flies up again. And there's victory in the church once again. You know, so that anointing, that harmony between the song leader and the minister before the service, and then the song leader and the minister after the service are so very, very important. You know, because you can, without meaning to, you can quench the service. You know, there's like a real anointing on the people that wanting to get into worship. You choose the wrong song. It's like when the minister chooses the wrong scripture, you know, or says the wrong thing. You just find that the continuity, like of the Holy Ghost, is broken. And everybody can feel it who's spiritual inside of the church. And I mean, it's really a spiritual world we're living, brother. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, just to finish, Brad, I was thinking about the sons of Asaph.
Yes.
And you see
the sons of Korah and all of them.
Yes. They like you're saying, it's the same priesthood.
Yeah.
And they would come take their positions.
Yeah.
And before even the ministers come, the Holy Ghost, a cloud just comes.
Yes.
And just fills the whole temple. And the ministers can't even minister. So as a song leader, you want to be in prayer all the time, constantly. You want to be someone who is fasting and praying. You want to be someone who is, Like we see our song leader, you know. Yeah. I talk to Brother George a lot. I learn a lot from him. He is, you can actually see that there's something that drives Brother George in his position.
Yeah.
And the Lord is actually doing a good work in Brother George. And And if you notice, and the things that sometimes he says to you, and then you wait, even when Brother Green came this Sunday,
yeah.
and Brother George just sent me a quotation as it was, and yeah. Brother Green just read it, and I was just saying, my God. So it's amazing.
May the Lord help us to go deeper and deeper in that, because it's a great blessing, bro. And it's true, bro. You know, it's like the song leader is the same as the minister, because the moment you finish preaching on a Sunday, or like now, me, when you finish preaching on a Sunday, your thought is straight away to Wednesday. You can't get up on Monday and then just say, okay, let me go and play around, let me do this and that. It's like always in the back, like you got that pot on the stove, on the back plate on the stove, already when you started to get something for Wednesday. And the moment now you're finishing for Wednesday, then you're thinking for Friday, or you're thinking for Sunday. It's like, it really is. When the prophet says it has to be a calling, I never understood that until you actually do it. Same as a song leader. Now, it's like to be effective, and we wish we could be more effective as a song leader or as a minister or anything in the kingdom of God. If you're a gifted person, whatever, it's your life. It's absolutely, you're called to live that life. You can't live your life and then you need to jump into your ministry when it gets time for church. You can't separate your ministry from your life, because they are so interconnected. Like the prophet says, the problem with us is these days we come out from within the veil. We go around, we play around with the world. Then it's time now for us to do something for the Lord, and we're struggling to get back within the veil. Yeah. No, that's not, you start learning quickly. You can't do that. You can't get out of the veil. Yeah, because you'll never do the job properly if you're like compartmentalizing your life and saying, okay, this part of my life is for me, this part of my life is for the Lord. That's not the way that it works. It's like a calling upon your life. Yeah, it's like everything inside of you is going to be geared up towards that. Yes, you do need your times of rest. Go and kick the football with the children. Now, yesterday, we were together with Sister Priya, Sister Aggie, Sister Dash, and then we were together with them in Newry for the day. You have a wonderful time, like of refreshment and that, but you never want to get involved in anything which is going to take you away from your calling. That's going to hinder you from the service of the Lord. And like a Christian life, a genuine Christian life, you rotated around the house of the Lord. Like when I grew up, we used to have Wednesday, Friday, Sunday morning. Those were the three services we had. In your mind, in your diary, in your mind, those blocks of time are non-negotiable. Those are put in your diary, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. If your boss wants you to work Wednesday, you don't work Wednesday. If your boss says, please, can you stay on Friday? You'd rather say, no, let me rather come and do it early Monday morning or something. You know, it's like, your life rotates around the things of God. You fit everything else in around worship, around the service of the house of the Lord. You don't fit God into your program, but you work your program around the things of God. And if you live your life like that, it's going to be very effective. And the same, like you're saying, with a song leader, a minister, your life is lived around those seasons of ministry. Everything before is preparing you for it. After that, you're resting a little bit from it, then you're preparing for the next one. Now, I think that's when the prophet says it has to be a call. You know, it's not just something that you can do like a job at work where you're coming in, you're doing telemarketing, you come in at 8 o'clock, you finish at 5 o'clock, take off your earphones, turn off your company phone, you go home, you forget about it. You know, until tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I don't think that works. And when you're living that kind of a life, it becomes very easily apparent in your ministry, in your service to the Lord. When there's too many times that you're coming right out of his presence, and then you realize, oh, it's Wednesday again. I need to get close to the Lord. Yeah, I don't really think we should be living those kind of lives. It's a high calling, you know, and that's what it is. The prophet says the highest calling in this world is to be a minister of the gospel. And every one of us is called in some sense in that kind of a way. You know, it's the high calling. Hudson Taylor said that in his day when the missionaries' child, who was a missionary, resigned from being a missionary because they were offered the post of the ambassador to China. And Hudson Taylor asked that missionary, how is your son doing? He says, oh, my son has fallen. He's just an ambassador now. You know, instead of being a missionary, he's now an ambassador. And you know, but to us, when you're not in the spirit, we'll think, hey, to be an ambassador. But no, the highest calling in the world is for you to serve Christ. If you're an evangelist, there's no higher calling than giving yourself completely to evangelism. Now, if you're a song leader, that's your life. That's your call. Everything else in life rotates around that. Yeah, and I think it very easily discovers itself in the lives of people when they stand in front of people, when you can see that there's a certain dimension that's missing there, and it's that is where the problem comes in. Yeah, and Brother James, you know that one so well, bro. Like you're saying, you know, the fasting, the praying, the when you finish your song leading on a Sunday, you know your next time on the roster is next Friday. All through the week, you're already preparing now for next week on Friday. That's, I think, is definitely heading in the right direction if you go in that way. So thank you very much, Saints. Thanks, brother. It was very helpful, Brother James. We really appreciated that. Brother George, Brother Tony, everybody has contributed. Brother Sasha, thank you so much for that. I think let's finish off. I thought maybe it was just a little small topic we're going to go through, but I can see there's a lot of depth in this one here, if the Lord would help us. Just seeing it from the feedback of people, thank you for that. Maybe we'll ask Brother Tony, you pray for us tonight, brother, please, if you would.
Heavenly Father, as I come unto thee, Lord Father God, this evening, Lord Father, with the saints, Lord Father God, please grant us your mercy, Lord, in this time and in this day, Lord Father God. This time we are living in, Lord Father God, there are lions, Lord Father God, ready to maul us, Lord Father God, in all avenues, Lord Father. The world has got so many holes, Father God, that they can just creep up from there and just grab and grab and go. Lord, I ask you for your blessing, Lord, that you would grant us your mercy, your grace, that you would show us your, Father God, your road, where we're supposed to aim, where we're supposed to aim on, where we're supposed to go on high, Lord, Father God, to the next step and higher to the next, Lord, Father God, where our presence, Lord, Father God, and our calling will be, Father God, a true one, Lord, Father God. Amen. Be with us. Watch over us, Lord, Father God. Bless us, Lord, Father God. Bless each and every brother, Lord, Father God, that's here with us with this topic, Lord, Father God, that we've shared today. Bless each and every one, Lord, Father God, that listened, Lord, Father God, that there is a lion, Lord, Father God, ready to chew, Lord, Father God, and get a hold of you. Father, be with us in this hour, Lord, Father. Watch over us. Thank you, thank you for our pastor, Lord, Father God, for giving us this message, Lord, Father God, and helping us, Lord, Father God. Father, just open up this topic, Lord, Father, that it brings, Father God, sanity to us, Lord, Father God. And it brings us, Father God, that true, Father God, sanity, that we may open up ourselves and, Lord, be able to tell and be able to speak of the things that, Father God, hurt us inside and the things that don't hurt us, Lord, Father God. Amen. I thank you, Lord, Father God, and I look upon thee, Lord, Father God, for your blessings, Father God, in this hour, Lord, Father God, as I pray, be with us and our families. Father God, watch over our children, Lord Father. The most important part is our children, Lord.
Amen.
That's where it can actually come in, Lord Father God, and grab a hold of them. Yes, Father, yes. I pray, because I have children, Lord Father God, that still listen to that music, and it's so disgusting to hear it, Lord. I just pray, Lord Father God, please help me, Lord Father God, and help my household, Father God, that you may be may stand as an umbrella, Lord Father God, against this, Father God, music, and that we can be able to listen to the topic of Christ once more. I thank you, Lord Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thanks for that. God bless you, saints. God bless each and every one richly. Have a wonderful weekend. Until we meet again, shalom.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
God bless everybody.
God bless you.
God bless. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, sister. God bless you richly.